Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, Walking in His Word. I'm so glad you guys are tuning in wherever you're listening from today. We got a great, great show for you guys this week.
Yeah, we do. I was thinking about the message this week, Pastor Aaron. Victorious warrior.
Yeah, come on.
Victorious. If you think about the four major sports, you know, hockey, baseball, football, basketball.
Yeah.
Those are the four major.
In America.
Yeah. I mean, obviously soccer or a few around the world, it's called football again, but soccer is pretty big, and there's other lots of sports, but there's four major ones in America. There's only one team in the end who's not disappointed.
Yeah.
One team. And I remember in 2004 when the Pistons made it into the playoffs and they started miraculously winning these really close games, and they finally made it to the finals. And they were playing the Los Angeles Lakers. It was Kobe and Shaq and a bunch of other awesome players.
Yeah.
And they were amazing.
Yeah.
And nobody predicted the Pistons to win the championship. And the Pistons ended up winning in five games.
Yeah.
And they infamously called it the five-game sweep.
Yeah.
And the reason they say that is because the Lakers' only game they won was on a last-second shot, miracle shot by Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
But the whole game, they didn't look good.
Right.
And it looked like the Pistons were going to win, and then boom. they lost. So they call it a five-game sweep. I remember watching all those games, being so proud to be a Pistons fan. Taken down.
Yeah.
Kobe and Shaq and the Los Angeles Lakers. It was awesome to be victorious.
Yeah, come on.
It's a good feeling. Every single day of your life, because you've put Jesus inside your heart, is a day of victory.
Come on.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
Let's go to the message.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. What these 22,000 could have said is, yeah, I'm afraid, but I'm going to believe God. I'm afraid, but I'm going to do this anyway. I'm afraid, but I'm going to just strengthen myself, because sometimes you do things afraid. But no, they said, I'm afraid and I'm out of here. All right, out of here you go, right? And verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Why? It's the Lord, I tell you. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of the whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, ye shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on the knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, let all the other people go, every man to his tent or to his place. And so there we have the test, right? So the ones that got down to drink like this, they were sent home. The ones that got to drink like this, those 300, they were chosen. So one was not alert or watchful. They just went down like that. And the ones that were alert and watchful, not distracted, the Lord said, I'll use those. And so right here, we have the two tests, the fear test and the distraction test. We want to be valiant warriors, and the purpose of this message is to stir us up to believe God, to strengthen our hands, to be overcomers, to be victorious, to trust that He always leads us to triumph and that we can do all things through Christ. But we have to pass the fear test and the distraction test. The first test was the fear test. They lost 22,000 right off the start. If you're afraid, go home. I do know this, that if you give in to your fears and allow your fears to dominate you, you will never be a victorious warrior. And 22,000 said, this is not for me. Why is that? Because the Midianites had spread themselves out on the valley, and they were like just this huge multitude. They were intimidating, and that they were just spread out there, and they looked like there is no way anybody can defeat them. They were just intimidating, and so just filled their hearts with fear. I do know this, fear can be very contagious. And I want to know if God would allow those 22,000 to remain with Gideon, their fear would have been spread. Their fear would have been contagious. They would have sown unbelief, sown fear into the hearts of all the men. And listen, it's hard to move forward if you're captivated or held in bondage by your fears. The second test was what I call the distraction test. You got to somehow be alert, to be watchful, to be fully awake. Jesus tells us, watch and pray. Be vigilant because you have an adversary. It's time to wake up, for your salvation is getting closer and closer. But we can get distracted with politics, distracted with problems, distracted with other voices, distracted with the impossibilities of this and that, the cares of this life. We can be distracted with all of that, getting our eyes off of the Lord and on to what's happening down here. And if you are a distracted warrior, or if you are a fearful warrior, you need to go home. God's not going to use you. King Asa, in the scriptures, he had a 1,000,000-man army come against him. And he saw that and he realized, man, we are so outnumbered. What in the world am I going to do? This is an impossibility. And King Asa prays this prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. Asa cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Well, God answered that prayer because it was a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of, God, you must do this. He was calling on the name of the Lord. He had his fears, but he kept looking to God. And so you can go from a fearful warrior to a victorious warrior by this process of faith. And God is going to test you, just like he tested them with the fear test and with the distraction test. He's looking for you to believe, and he's looking for you to be alert and watchful, and to press in and to turn to the Lord. In Judges chapter 7, verse 18, it says this, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I almost titled this message, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, but I chose a victorious warrior, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What a shout. What a shout. You know, if all you do is shout out the sword of the Lord, well, that's kind of like, okay, God's got to do it. God's got to do it. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And you don't see yourself in any way as an instrument that God can use or a participant in the miracle. And if all you do is say the sword of Gideon, well, that's simply pride, trusting in yourself. I'm going to get the victory. What you got to do is you got to mesh the two together. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Lord, it is by your strength, it is by your power that we receive our victory. It's the sword of Gideon. Lord, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Lord, by your power, with my faith, by your strength, with my participation, by your divine strategy, with my believing and trusting you, Lord, we are going to see you do miracles. I believe this, that God always wants to bring you in on what he's doing, and he wants you to participate in what he's doing. And if you got a battle on your hand, then I want you to know you're going to win that battle, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. That's how you're going to win it. But he's also going to have you believe and obey and participate and take steps to bring about and to see the wonderful hand of Almighty God.
When I was a kid in our children's ministry here, Pastor Luke, I remember a skit that was performed years and years ago, but it was really funny to me as like a fourth grader. I still remember it. And it was this skit. Somebody was trying to raise money, I think, to go to church camp.
Okay.
Right. You know, it was kind of like a problem that a fourth grader might have, trying to fundraise and get money to go to church camp. I don't have $200. I don't have a job. I need to ask people for money.
$200 to a kid is insurmountable.
Exactly. And so they had this skit about somebody trying to raise church camp, and they were praying, God, would you provide money for me? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, somebody showed up and said, hey, if you come over to my house to rake leaves, I'll give you $50.
Okay.
And I said, oh, no. I prayed that God would just provide for me.
Oh.
And so I'm waiting for God to just give me the money.
Oh.
And they said, oh, okay. And then the next person came around and you know, gave him another chore. I can't remember all the details, but it was another thing. Like, hey, if you come and do this for me, I'll give you $50. And they said, oh, no, I prayed to God and I'm waiting for God to just miraculously give me the money.
Ah.
And then at the end, all their friends kind of load up on the bus and go to church camp, and they're left not going because they prayed and said, God, would you provide this money for me? And God provided them the opportunity. But in their mind, they were thinking that God was just going to miraculously, I don't know, rain down money from heaven.
Just there'd be a sack of cash beside their bed in the morning.
Yeah. And it was this really funny skit, obviously.
That's a good skit.
We know that that's not what would happen, but it was funny to me as a fourth grader, and it really showed this lesson that God wants to partner with us in victory.
Wow, yeah.
That when God is doing something in our life, even hearing the story of Gideon, when God is bringing the victory to the Israelites, to Gideon and his small army of 300, Gideon and his men still partnered with God. They still had a part to play in this victory, even though it was miraculous and God did it. If they would have just sat at camp and said, well, God's going to do it.
Yeah.
If they'd have never marched out into those mountains and blew those trumpets and cracked those jars and held up those torches and then pursued the army, if they'd have never done any of those things, the victory would not have been there. And God partners with us. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone today to look for opportunities. If you've been praying for God to do something, look for an opportunity to partner with God in the victory.
I really, really enjoyed that little story you just shared. It's impacting to think. So a lot of times I feel like God is providing for us, but it's just spelled W-O-R-K.
Yeah, come on.
You know,
that's
or
good.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
And like my wife's my wife spells love T-I-M-E.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or my wife spells love quality conversations.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how it works too. And I've preached this kind of message before, and we're pretty much done, was like, God will answer your prayer differently than how you imagine it would play out in your mind.
It's good.
It is good. And there is a path to victory. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're excited to be right back here on the radio tomorrow morning, everybody.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger. We'll be right back.